Hello, hello, everyone. We are live. Amanda Grace here with you tonight. It's May 28th, 2026. Welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you with us tonight. Let's say hi to those of you coming in. I see, let's see, Baltimore, Maryland, and California. God bless you guys. Lakeland, Florida as well, and Katy, Texas. God bless both of you. Toronto, Canada. Hello to all our viewers in Canada. We're thrilled to have you on with us tonight. God bless all of you. Boca Raton and Sag Harbor. God bless you. As well as Buffalo, New York. Hello to our neighbors in New York. God bless you. We're thrilled to have you on. As well as the Adirondack Mountains, which is about 2 hours or so north of us. God bless you. Thrilled to have you on with us tonight. I see Chelsea, Oklahoma, Flowery Branch, Georgia, Queen Creek, Arizona. God bless all of you. South Africa. Hello to our international audience that is now coming in. We're very happy to have you on with us. God bless you. Northwest Pennsylvania, our neighbors in Plattsburgh, New York. God bless all of you as well. Hello to our neighbors in Connecticut. God bless you. Greenville, South Carolina. Oklahoma. Yep, Toby was just here. I don't know where he went, but he disappeared there for a minute. Houston, Texas, North Dakota, Central Point, Oregon, Boston, Massachusetts. God bless all of you. We're happy to have you on with us tonight. Let's see who else is coming on here. I see Maine and Illinois and Chesapeake, Virginia. God bless all of you as well. Queensland, Australia. Hello to our friends across the globe in Australia. We're thrilled to have you on with us. God bless you. My throat's a little dry here. Okay. I'm looking to see. I think Toby's going up the stairs. I hear him. Hello to you in Newark, New Jersey. Hello to our neighbors in New Jersey. We're thrilled to have you with us. And in Tampa, Florida as well. And in Minnesota and Oklahoma and Wyoming. God bless all of you as well. I see Avon, Ohio and Maryland and New Brunswick, Canada. God bless all of you. We're very happy to have you on with us tonight. Also, hello to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. So, I got to get my voice going here. I've already been preaching for about an hour and a half to somebody on the phone. So, I got to get my voice going again, people. Okay. So, I'm going to open up in prayer, as usual. Always give it over to the Lord first. And then we're going to get into tonight. Let me tell you, we're going to get into the fall of the house of Eli in the nation, because there is this incredible parallel running right now with the church and with the government. And we're going to get into it. We're going to break it down for you. It's really a plumb line that's being dropped. It's an incredible plumb line. And we're going to prophetically break it down and talk to you about it, as well as what's going on with this Iran deal, which is very, very interesting. So let's open up in prayer. Give this over to the Lord, and then we'll be off and running tonight. Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day. We praise you, your almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your holy, precious name. Father, we humble ourselves before you this day, ask you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, forgive us of every way we've sinned and fallen short, Father God. Lord, we just praise you that your mercies are new every single day. Lord, we come before your court with thanksgiving and praise, Father God, saying your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Help us, Lord, to seek your kingdom first. Teach us what pleases you today, Lord. Equip us to walk in your ways. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we acknowledge you sent your Son, Yeshua, Jesus, to the earth as the Passover lamb, the Pesach lamb. He was the sacrifice for our sins. He was the Word, became flesh. He dwelt among us. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And Father, we so apply the blood of Jesus Christ tonight, Father God. We praise you for the healing power of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know that when Christ said it is finished on the cross, he blotted out ordinances, he disarmed principalities and powers. He made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation. He miraculously rose again. He ascended back to be with the Father. He victoriously took his rightful place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name above all names, and our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, Lord, into this place. Father, we praise you, Lord. We welcome the weight of your glory, Father God, and the power of your presence to mightily move, Father. Lord, let your power, your presence saturate the atmosphere of this place, the holiness of who you are, your conviction, Father God. Let it mightily go forth tonight. Let the Holy Spirit be the counselor and minister to those, Father God, who are watching. Lord, go before us tonight. Be our front and rear guard. Order our steps, Father God. Order my words, Lord, as we mightily go forth in you. Fill us in the name of Jesus Christ with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow me, Lord, and our team, the humble privilege of being vessels of your power, Father. And Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you, loose, send, and dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions to surround this office, the skies, the land, above and below, north, south, east, and west, and to guard against every dimensional access point, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over and rebuke every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, witchcraft, spell, incantation, sorcery, any form of weaponized demonic activity sent against us, sent against our persons, Father God, sent against this place, sent against this broadcast. We command in the name of Jesus Christ, by the holy fire of God, it is destroyed, dismantled, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, canceled, rendered powerless, and their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. And it casts back to the areas you have designated for such, Lord, to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return or have anything sent in its place. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We will certainly just the clay. You're the author and finisher of our faith, Father God. Every breath we take is because of you, Father God. We praise you, Father God, Lord, that you are the breath, that you breathe life into us, Father God. Lord, we praise you. We bless your holy name. You are holy. You are righteous. You judge the matters of men and nations. You weigh them in your court, Father God. Lord, we praise you, Father God, for who you are, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, Father. Lord, we praise you that you contend with those who contend with us. You fight against those who fight against us, Father God. Lord, we praise you for the armor of God. And according to Ephesians chapter 6, we ask you to put your whole and complete armor on us this day, Father God, that the shield of faith would go up in front of us in the name of Jesus Christ to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, that every arrow, weapon, dart the enemy, his agents would attempt to fire at us, be reversed upon the senders now in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. And we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and let the sword of the Spirit and all its capabilities be activated in the name of Jesus Christ to destroy demonic conspiracies, to destroy the snares of the enemy, to make the way straight, Father God, for us to walk in the victory, power, authority, and prosperity that the Lord God Almighty has ordained for us, Lord. We praise you. We thank you tonight, Father God. You are welcome in this place. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. Welcome to those of you who are jumping on during prayer. We're thrilled to have you on with us tonight. If you could share this broadcast, like and subscribe, we would very much appreciate it. We're very grateful to our viewers for doing that. And let's get up the notes, because we are talking about the fall of the house of Eli tonight in this nation. Let me tell you, we are watching a convergence of the church and the political run parallel to each other and happen at the same time. And we're going to get into this account. We're going to get into what it means. And it's coming into the government. It's not just in the church. We're watching it come into Congress. It's coming into governor's races, mayor's races, the Trump administration. It's coming into the church. It's a very, very serious time that this is happening. We're watching plumb lines drop. We're watching Samuels be separated from Eli and his wicked son. So let's get into it. Now, I want to talk about this briefly before we get into the house of Eli. But we're going to put up the Fox News article for you. U.S. and Iran reach ceasefire extension deal pending Trump's final approval. The tentative 60-day pact extends the ceasefire and opens nuclear talks, but still hinges on President Trump's final signing off. So apparently they have reached a 60-day understanding while they're still bombing each other, extending the current ceasefire and launching negotiations on Iran's nuclear program. Now, I'm telling you now, Iran wants to make this go past the midterms. I am telling you, if they get their way, that's what's going to happen, and it'll make a mess. So there is something else percolating here. There is something else President Trump has to be doing here. So this is a very interesting 60 days in the year 2026. This window, interestingly enough, has began with the United States bombing Iran. So they've reached an understanding, but the United States is bombing Iran, and Iran's trying to delay the fact that they can't have a nuclear weapon. So they're trying to delay this. They don't want to hand over their enriched uranium. They want a nuclear weapon because they want to bring forth the Mahdi, the 12th Imam. And so this is the whole crux of this issue. This is a spiritual war and negotiation that is coming into the natural. So we'll keep updated on that. We'll let you know as updates come. But I want to get into Eli here. So we're watching what's happening with Congress, with the church. We have seen what happened with Rima Bible College. We're watching with governors, with mayors. So we're watching this convergence happen. And there is a changing of the guard, not only happening in the church. It's running parallel, and there's a changing of the guard with the government. What's happening with the church is happening within the government. What's happening within the government is happening within the church. The plumb line is being dropped between Eli, his wicked sons, and Samuel. I would also watch, in this time, Eli Lilly, the drug company right now, for a scandal or a fracturing from within, I'm telling you. I would watch that drug company right now, Eli Lilly. Okay, so we're going to get into words from the Lord first, going all the way back to 2021. And then we're going to get into 1 Samuel and the account of Eli and what happened. Because we're literally watching it play out before our very eyes. So let's go to April 2nd, 2021. Word of the Lord. There shall be a fall down the stairs as Joe and Jill have attempted to trample on my hill. And there shall be a tumbling down and a Lot capital shall go with. For I, the Lord, truly see the strings and pharmakia ingested and injected to achieve a lucidity. A clotting is occurring and taps is on the horizon as the sun sets on the Bidens. Now, this is the important part here. Eli and his wicked sons, the whole lot shall be purged by the hand of the Lord. So after the Bidens leave office, would come the time of Eli and his wicked sons, basically. Eli and his wicked sons, the whole lot shall be purged by the hand of the Lord. However, the country needs to learn a grave lesson, says the Lord, and return unto me in holiness for this to turn, capital. For you are at the precipice. If you shall take the word, your sword, and speak it, and be bold and brave, capital, as I, the Lord your God, lead you in this parade. The charade shall be exposed. A strike to the head of social media giants shall be the wound that causes a fall heard round the world. So the first time Eli and his wicked sons are mentioned in prophecy was 5 years ago, 2021. August 2nd, 2022. And says the Spirit of the Lord this day, Eli's wicked sons, abusing their position as their father was in leadership, playing a righteous role. The wicked sons of Eli both fell, says the Lord of hosts. And you shall see such occur around the time of fall, says the Lord of hosts. A wicked house shall fall. Now that's the time of the midterms. A literal house shall collapse, says the Lord of hosts this day. And says the Spirit of the Lord this day, I am God, there is no other. That's capitals. Return unto me, O people of America. Return unto me, O people of England, for your nation teeters on the edge of destruction. Return unto me, O people of Australia, so I may remove the snare, a treble hook that has clawed your nation in three places, says the Lord. Now, treble hooks are used to catch bait fish. They're used to catch fish like bunker that you use to fish for bluefish. And they're going, how the hey does Amanda know this? Well, I'll tell you. I know this because my father, when I was born, wanted a little boy first. And he got me. So what he did was he put me into every sport imaginable. And he also taught me fishing. And my father, when I was young, and I'd throw all the fish back. I'm telling you, every time I caught a fish, I want to throw it back. Taught me to bluefish. And you use a treble hook when you have to snag bunker, which are the bait fish that the bluefish pursue. So to give you some perspective on Australia in that word, this is, I'm going back to my roots here for a minute and my childhood to pull this out to tell you. I will tell you too, it was November of 2024 when the House of Eli type controversies and certain allegations began to surface. It was the fall. It was November of 2024 when we really began to see this percolate. Now, December 12th, 2024, this is what was said in that broadcast. Remember, I have kept saying what happens in the political is happening in the church. And I want to show you something. And this is what I said. Mitch McConnell recently fell. Mitch represents the House of Eli in scripture that is being removed. This is happening simultaneously as within the church because the House of Eli did not want to properly take care of their business and have allowed too much to build. And there comes a time where the Lord allows it to come to a head. That was December 12th, 2024. January 27th, 2025. The time of the removal of Eli is upon the government and the church. January 27th, 2025. The time of the removal of Eli's is upon the government and the church. The time of the removal is here, says the Lord. Eli and his wicked sons, the whole lot shall be purged, says the Lord. Eli was separated from Samuel, for Samuel was righteous, and I have allowed the separations. And now Eli shall fall back, for he refused to bring his house into order. And so now you shall see this happen in tandem in the political and the church. The time of Eli's reckoning has come. April 4th, 2025. I, the Lord, shall bear down on the church, says the Lord. The cloaked ones, the ones hiding a sea of indiscretions, the ones who are operating in a visceral to cover their crumbling lives, marriages, who try and hide the empty bottles, who right now are in torment because they did not heed the warning of the Lord. Their tables shall be bared down on in this time. The pressure shall be applied to cause multiple breaks, says the Lord, for it is time. However, capital, says the Lord, walk circumspectly before me, says the Lord. Walk carefully before me. Do not mock, capital, says the Lord, in this time. Do not mock those whose foot is caught in a trap. Speak truth and pray for the spirit, such as a jester has well gone out into the church to act a fool, says the Lord, and turn men and women of character into fools, for the salaciousness of the matter is so tempting to take a bite of, says the Lord. Resist, capital, the urge to do such, and speak my truth in love, and call for righteousness, a standard, and repentance in this hour, says the Lord. For a very old wound is about to be reopened, says the Lord. In the Catholic Church, in the Episcopal Church, says the Lord, a wound is about to be uncovered, grave in nature, that goes back more than 30 years, says the Lord. And that wound shall be exposed. The side of the church is about to be pierced and opened, says the Lord. Including the Vatican, says the Lord, including the Western Church, says the Lord, including the most well-known African ministers who have acted more like witch doctors than holy men of God. That is a sobering word. That was April 4th, 2025. April 4th, 2025. February 16th, 2026. Word of the Lord. And then we're going to, I'm setting the stage here. I'm setting the, to go talk about 1 Samuel and Eli. February 16th, 2026. Congress, says the Lord, a shakeup in this time, for the weight of their crimes are great. For I am raising up out of Congress voices who serve me, who are not easily lured by the delicate dainties of deceit. I, the Lord, am positioning them for the next 2 years, says the Lord. Ichabod has been written upon the areas of Congress where truly the glory is reported. That is an Eli reference. Ichabod is in the account of the fall of the house of Eli. Okay. Ichabod has been written upon the areas of Congress where truly the glory is departed. I have withdrawn my hand, says the Lord, in order to force the issue and bring to a head the moles that have been hidden in their holes and whom they truly serve. Foreign interests, foreign currency, and foreign oil deals, says the Lord. Congress shall split, says the Lord, shall split down to the innards that the nation has not seen, but in this time will be exposed to how deep the inner debauchery goes and stretches into areas of the nation that were not known until this time. For I, the Lord, am ordering for my court this day a great sifting of Congress, a great overturning and a realignment to reset what has been broken and heal what has been infected. For the blackmail, the threats, the manipulation, the witchcraft will be exposed. Witchcraft at high levels in Congress will be exposed nationally, says the Lord, as the secrets of their dark arts shall be brought forth, as well as a coup that has been moving about, disguised as other issues. That coup shall rear up in this hour, and it will take the word of the Lord and the strategy of my throne, says the Lord, to quickly put such down before an embargo is placed upon Congress and attempts to block the rededication of your nation, says the Lord. That was February 16th, 2026. Now, this was before the blockade at the Strait of Hormuz begun. This was before other things even happened that we're watching unfold now. May 7th, 2026. The Republican Party is about to endure a purging and a cleansing that publicly will look like a detriment. However, I shall bring the dross to the surface and clean out the lingering infection that has prevented it from moving forward to accomplish what it must in this time. You are about to see a separation of the refuse of the dirty deals of the alliances made in the shadows between socialist, Democrat, and Republicans. They shall be brought to the surface. They shall come forth and be exposed in a way that shall be another shock to the system of Congress. However, this must be done now for the midterms to not be weighed down in scandal. I am calling it forth now, says the Lord. March out the scandals, both parties. I command them to come forth and be laid bare for the money changers. This is the hour. Their table is overturned, including the Supreme Court, says the Lord. Governors who think they can hold on to November, your hidden agreements with other nations to help you keep your seats, shall be marched out. Jeffries and Schumer, says the Lord, your reckoning has come. Grace has thinned to a vapor. You assisted in outing members of your own party to hide what you have done. However, it is about to be found out, says the Lord, for this is a time of great uncovering, a time of agreements with signatures and great reward to come forth and its content shown. Flash drives, hard drives, documents buried under bureaucracy shall be found, says the Lord. Raids are just beginning, says the Lord, for what you have taken from criminals shall be found out. What you have taken from terrorists shall come to the surface. What you have taken from imams shall be laid bare. What you have taken from sheiks in the Middle East shall reveal themselves. What you have taken from oligarchs shall come forth. So that was May 7th, 2026. So there is a theme here. There is a theme for 5 years that has been building up now to this point. So now we're going to go to Eli, that we've gone over this. So Eli and his wicked sons, right? The time has come, and the church and government are running parallel with this purge. This goes beyond the church. It's going into Congress, the branches of government, the Supreme Court, mayor's races, governor's races. We are literally watching that battle play out before us. So let's go to 1 Samuel going to start with chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. And this is what it says. The sons of Eli, who were Hophni and Phinehas, were worthless, dishonorable, unprincipled men. They did not know nor respect the Lord. They did not know nor respect the Lord. And the custom of the priests with the sacrifices of the people. When any man was offering a sacrifice, the priest servant would come while the meat was boiling with a three-pronged meat fork in his hand. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. Everything that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is what they did in Shiloh to all the sacrifices, the Israelites who came, Also, before they burned the fat, the priest servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, give the priest meat to roast, since he will not accept boiled meat from you, only raw. If the man said to him, certainly they are to burn the fat first, and then you may take as much as you want, then the priest servant would say, no, you shall give it to me now, or I will take it by force. So the sin of the two young men, Hophni and Phinehas, was very great before the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord disrespectfully. So this is our introduction to the house of Eli. Eli raised Samuel. He also raised two very corrupt sons that were doing horrible things before the Lord. Horrible things to the people who would come to sacrifice. Now, 1 Samuel 2, chapter 22 through 26. Now, Eli was very old, and he heard about everything that his sons were doing to all the people of Israel, and how they were lying with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Eli said to them, why do you do such things, the evil things that I hear from all these people? Verse 24, no, my sons, for the report that I keep hearing from the passers-by among the Lord's people is not good. If one man does wrong and sins against another, God will intercede for him. But if a man does wrong to the Lord, who can intercede for him? But they would not listen to their father, for it was the Lord's will to put them to death. So Eli comes, he confronts his sons, and that's all he does. He gives them a slap on the wrist. He looks the other way. He lets them continue in their debauchery, treating the Lord's offering with contempt, corrupting the tent, corrupting the sacrifice. And Eli knows this is going on. And he does nothing about it. Besides tell them, what you're doing is wrong, and there's no one to intercede for you because you're doing this against the Lord. He should have removed them from their position and say, sit your butts down. You are not going to trifle like this in the Lord's business. You are not going to continue to steal and take and run around in debauchery and profane the Lord's name. He didn't do that. Verse 26, but the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor both with the Lord and with men. So as Hophni and Phinehas are corruptly going down, Samuel is being raised up out of the same house, out of the house of Eli. So it's a plumb line, it's a measuring rod that was dropped between Samuel and Hophni and Phinehas. Samuel and the house of Eli. And basically, from what they were doing, let me read this. I want to make sure I get this right here. Okay. What Hophni and Phinehas were doing, they not only were stealing, they were sleeping with the women in the church. If we're going to put it in modern day, they were not only stealing, they were sleeping with the women in the church. You want to talk about a Jerry Springer storyline? Here's one right here we have in 1 Samuel chapter 2 with what Hophni and Phinehas were doing. So they're stealing, they're treating the offering with contempt, they are misrepresenting the Lord in every way, and they're sleeping with the women in the church, except Maury Povich is not there to go, you are not the father. Maury Povich wasn't there to do these things back then. They were doing horrible things. And notice the grave mistake Eli makes. He doesn't remove Hophni and Phinehas from their position and replace them with men of faith and character. He didn't want to remove his sons. One of the best things Eli could have done is remove his sons. It would have sent a message to everyone that if he's willing to remove his sons for doing such things, he's willing to remove anybody else. But because they were his sons, he let them continue. And he looked the other way. Now, he basically gives them a slap on the wrist and says, oh, stop doing that. You know you shouldn't be doing that. Stop sinning against God. And then left it and allowed it to continue. Instead of coming in and putting a stop to it, taking away their name, taking away what they were making off of it, taking away what they had gained from it, he allows it to continue. And everyone in the town and the tent knew what Hophni and Phinehas and their dirty little selves was doing. They knew. You couldn't hide it. They were openly, brazenly doing what they were doing. So a plumb line begins to drop between Samuel and the house of Eli and Hophni and Phinehas. Now, go to 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. 9-1-1. Hi, Toby. This is what it says. Let me set the tone here. So now they're going to battle against the Philistines. They've lined up. They're going to battle. 1 Samuel 4, 9 through 11. The Philistines said this. Take courage and be men, O Philistines, that you do not become servants to the Hebrews as they have been servants to you. Act like men and fight. So the Philistines fought. Israel was defeated and every man fled to his tent. It was a very great defeat, for 30,000 foot soldiers of Israel fell. Also, the ark of God was taken and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were killed. What happened is Israel went into this battle in rebellion with rebellious priests leading the battle. Hophni and Phinehas are bringing the people into battle in rebellion. So they lose 3,000 people, and then they go, oh, if we bring the Ark of the Lord, if we start bringing the Ark of the Lord into the battle, well, then that is going to give us the victory. Well, no, because this is a judge. So when this comes into the camp, it's going to judge. It is going to discern what's going on in the camp, and it's going to amplify it, good or bad. So now they go get the Ark of the Lord, and they bring it to the battle line, and the Philistines get afraid because they're like, this is the God that plagued the Egyptians, parted the Red Sea. What are we going to do? Well, we have to be brave and fight anyway. Because they took the ark in rebellion, complete rebellion, 30,000 men fell, and the Philistines captured the ark, and Hophni and Phinehas were killed. Now, 1 Samuel 4, 16 through 18. The man said to Eli, I have come from the battle line indeed. I escaped from the battle line today. Eli said, how did things go, my son? The messenger replied, Israel has fled before the Philistines. There has also been a great slaughter among the people. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God has been taken. When he mentioned the ark of God, Eli fell off the seat backwards by the side of the city gate. His neck was broken, and he died, for he was old and heavy. He had judged Israel for 40 years. What are we in right now that I talked about on the broadcast on Tuesday? We are in a 40-year cycle that started with Reagan and is prophetically cycling now. This is why the house of Eli is now. This is why the plumb line being dropped and the fall of Eli and his sons are now. There is a 40-year cycle that started with Reagan that has gone into President Trump. that started with the Iran-Contra affair and now has cycled back to Iran. We're in a 40-year cycle here. And this is when you're watching the church and the government now run parallel with the house of Eli and his sons falling and the plumb line being dropped between Samuel and Eli and Hophni and Phinehas. This is not a mistake. This is prophetic timing. This is a 40-year prophetic cycle. And we are watching this unfold before our very eyes. Now, 1 Samuel 5, 9 through 11, 9:1:1. But it happened that after they had taken it to Gath, the hand of the Lord was against the city. So now the Philistines are trying to move the ark around. Because any city that gets it, it's like hot potato. You just want to pass it on because things start happening, causing an extremely great panic. For he struck the people of the city, both young and old, and tumors broke out on them. So they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And as the ark of God came to Ekron, the Ekronites cried out, "They have brought the ark of God of Israel to kill us and our people." So anyone that sees it was like the plague coming. So they sent word and gathered all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of God of Israel. Let it be returned to its own place so that it will not kill us and our people." For there was a deadly panic throughout the city. The hand of God was very severe against them. When you take what is the Lord's and he wants it back, his hand will be heavy against you. And he will afflict till he gets back what you have stolen from them. He did this to Pharaoh. He did this to the Philistines with the Ark of the Covenant. Now, to give you examples here, because the Ichabod comment, I want to go to the Ichabod comment for a minute, because I'm gonna get this up live, because remember in that one word, I believe it was from May 7th, the Lord talked about Ichabod. So, I'm going to get it up right now live, and we're going to go to it, and we're going to read it live. So, it's right after. It is in 1 Samuel 4:21. So, let's go to 1 Samuel 4. Okay, so we're going to start at 1 Samuel 19. 1 Samuel 4:19. Now, his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife was pregnant, was about to give birth. So when she heard the news that the ark of God had been taken and that her father-in-law and her husband had died, she kneeled down and gave birth because of labor. The labor pains began. And about the time of her death, the woman attending her said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have given birth to a son." But she did not answer or pay attention. And she named the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has left Israel, because the ark of God had been taken, and because of the deaths of her father-in-law and her husband." She said, "The glory has left Israel, for the ark of God has been taken." So that child was born when the ark of God was taken, and he was called Ichabod, which means the glory has departed. God's hand, his favor, his presence has lifted. And it did lift, because Israel lost 30,000 people in that battle, as well as the Ark of God, because of the rebellion of the house of Eli committing the debauchery they were committing and then having the audacity to lead people into battle with the Ark of God, which is holy. So they were profaning God, profaning the sacrifice, running around with the women, and then they take what is holy and they try to take it into battle to use it for a victory. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. So, to go on here, I want to take you to Numbers chapter 25, verses 1 through 11. Same example of what we're talking about. Israel settled and remained in Shittim, and the people began to play the prostitute with the women of Moab, like Hophni and Phinehas did. For they invited the Israelites to the sacrifices of their gods, and the Israelites ate the food offered to idols and bowed down to Moab's gods. So Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. The Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel." So Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Each one of you must kill his men who have joined themselves to Baal of Peor. This is what a serious offense this was. Then one of the Israelites came and presented his relatives, a Midianite woman, in the sight of Moses and the whole congregation of the Israelites, while they were weeping over God's judgment at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Where did Hophni and Phinehas pick up the women? At the doorway of the tent. It's the same thing. Tent of meeting. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he left the congregation. So here's another. Here's Phinehas now, the son of Aaron. He sees this, leaves the congregation, and took a spear in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through the body, the man of Israel and the woman. Then the plague on the Israelites stopped. Nevertheless, those who died in the plague numbered 24,000. So with the first Phinehas and Hophni and what they were doing, 30,000 when the Ark of the Lord came in lost their lives. In this one, same thing is happening. People are mixing practices. They're profaning the sacrifice. They're blaspheming. And they lose 24,000. And the only way the plague stops is when Phinehas the priest grabs a spear and kills the man and the Midianite woman who were being joined together so that Baal Peor could be worshipped. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned my wrath away from the Israelites because he was jealous with my jealousy among them so that I did not destroy the Israelites in my jealousy. That's verses 9 through 11. 9:1:1. Numbers 25, isn't that interesting? 9:1:1. Now, Leviticus 10, 1 through 3. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective censers, put fire in them, placed incense on it, and offered strange, unauthorized, unacceptable fire before the Lord, which he did not command them to do. And the fire came out from the presence of the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord said, I will be treated as holy by those who approach me, and before all the people I will be honored. So Aaron therefore said nothing. Here we go again. You've got the priests. You've got them committing strange acts. You've got them putting strange fire before the Lord that God did not command them to do. And when that happens, fire comes out from the presence of the Lord and devours them right there. This is a pattern of priests leading people into debauchery and leading them into battles that they were not consecrated to fight. Now, 1 Kings 1, 9 through 12, same thing. Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fattened steers by the stone of Zoletheth, which is beside the well Enrogel, and he invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants, to his feast. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaniah, the most formidable warriors, or his brother Solomon. Then Nathan, here comes Nathan the prophet, here he comes, spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. Have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king, and David our Lord does not know about it? Come now, please, let me advise you and save your life and the life of your son Solomon. Okay. Now, Adonijah attempts strange fire, an unauthorized sacrifice, to attempt to give an illusion in order to seize an unauthorized position as king. Hophni and Phinehas attempting through strange sacrifice, through practices of debauchery, to keep unauthorized positions as priest. We watch this with Aaron's sons do the same thing. Do an unauthorized sacrifice to continue in a way that God did not authorize. We are watching the unauthorized attempt to keep their positions, to take it by force, to run a race that they are not supposed to run, and cause resentment and contempt amongst the people. So we're watching the unauthorized in this country right now attempt to keep their positions, to take it by force, to take it by means of debauchery, to take it and use it in a corrupt way to hold on to a position God has not authorized them to be in, and a position God has ordained they be removed from. And when Hophni and Phinehas did this, it caused resentment among the people. When Adonijah did this, it caused resentment among the people. When Aaron's sons did this, it caused resentment among the people. We are watching, not only in the church, but in the political arena and in Congress and in mayors and governors races, we are watching people attempting to keep unauthorized position by strange practices they are not legally authorized to do in order to attempt to give an illusion of a position they are not authorized to stay in, they're not authorized to operate in, and the grace has thinned to a vapor for them to continue in. We are watching this across the country in mayors and governors' races. We are watching this when it comes to the church right now and what's happening with leadership in the church. We are watching this within the Trump administration. We are watching this within Congress. The unauthorized attempting to keep their position by means of force, intimidation, debauchery, deception. We're watching those in Congress try to keep unauthorized seats by those means. We are watching those in Congress wanting to lead those into battle they're not authorized to fight. Those trying to hold on to these positions in Congress are unauthorized. They are giving an illusion of something that they are not ratified to continue in. Mayors, governors, the same thing is happening in this nation right now. They are not authorized to continue in this position. This is why we're watching the fall of Eli and his sons now. We're watching the plumb line drop now. We're on a 40-year cycle that began with Reagan. And now the church and the political have come to a convergence. And they're running parallel. And we're watching the fall of Eli and his sons in the church and the fall of Eli and his sons now going to the midterms. In Congress, in mayor's races, in governor's races, because they're offering strange fire. They're unauthorized to operate in the capacity that they're operating in, and the time of judgment has come. God was determined to overthrow Hophni and Phinehas. He was determined to stop the house of Eli. He was determined to judge it. Because Eli looked the other way all those years while his sons ran around with women, ran around in debauchery, did contemptible things with the offering. Contemptible. And all Eli had to say is, you have to stop doing this. Not sit your butt down. You belong nowhere near the tent of meeting where the sacrifice of the Lord is supposed to be. How dare you? How dare you? And you know what? The plumb line has to be dropped. This is why you don't want to be an Eli. When you see things going on that are wrong around you, you need to purge it from you. You need to clean it out. If people are abusing the privilege of being around you and what you bless them with, and they're treating it with contempt, then they are doing what Eli's sons did. They are doing what Adonijah did. They are doing what Aaron's sons did. And they don't belong around you. They belong cleaned out. They belong dealt with. They shouldn't be allowed to continue to linger if they don't want to come under the complete submission of the Lord. Because Hophni and Phinehas were leading a parade of rebellion amongst the people, and they were making people despise the offering of the Lord. People didn't even want to come and give the offering of the Lord because they had to deal with Hophni and Phinehas, because of the stench that they left, because of the way they treated people, because of the contempt that they had towards people bringing the offering. People treated the offering of the Lord, they hated it. That's what was so egregious. They made people despise giving the Lord an offering because of their behavior, abusing the offering and sleeping with women. Does that sound familiar with what has been coming out right now? This is a 40-year cycle that the church is on too. And that's why it's converging with the political. And that's why we're watching Eli and his sons fall now. This is why we're watching it run tandem in the church and in the political now. Because it's a 40-year cycle that has now come to its fullness. And it's going across the nation. And it's not only going to be this nation, you're going to watch this happen in this time in other nations as well. You're going to watch this happen in Israel. You're going to watch it happen in Israel. You're going to watch it happen in England. You're going to watch this happen in other areas. You're going to watch it happen in Canada. Because it's a 40-year cycle that has come due. And the sons of Eli are attempting to keep an unauthorized position by abuse and debauchery and abusing the offerings and operating in a corruptible power that they had no business operating in. And it has to be cleaned out, which means if it's being cleaned out in the church and in the government, it's going to be cleaned out of your lives as well. The time has come. The plumb line's being dropped between Samuel and the house of Eli. The Samuels are being raised up. The house of Eli is being moved out. It cannot be near the things of God. If people want to operate in that rebellion, they have no business attempting to operate and lead things for the Lord. And if you see something going on in your life, you have to recognize it and you have to clean it out. A slap on the wrist isn't going to work in this season. God is requiring the purge. He's requiring the purge in your lives. He's requiring the purge in the church, in the government. It has come to that season. Even in our own lives. Things have to be cleaned out that are corruptible and contemptible and making a mockery of the blessings of God and what God has raised you up to do. And God will not be mocked. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. What a man sows in this season, he so shall reap, says the Lord. So sow wisely. So circumspectly, so with gratefulness for what God has even given you, because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be sitting up here. I'm a sinner like everyone else that has an incredible Savior that saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And that raised me up to do this. And it grieves me when I see people treated with contempt. The blessings of God. Because, see, Hophni and Phinehas wanted to benefit off of the blessings while operating in rebellion. You know who that was too? Lot. That's why he was removed from Abraham. You want to know how you get a lot out of your life? you send them packing. Lot illegally benefited off of the blessings of Abraham. Lot wanted to operate in rebellion while receiving the fullness of the blessings of obedience. Those that want to operate in rebellion while attempting to take the blessings that are required from obedience, those are the ones in this season that are going to be removed, that are their pedestals are going to crumble. Their lives are going to fall apart. The blessings they did get, that they treated with contempt, will vaporize. Because this is the time and this is the season of the Lord separating and dropping the plumb line with the house of Eli and his sons and Samuel. Samuel was called. He wasn't perfect, but he was called. And he wanted to serve the Lord. And Samuel ran into the same problem as Eli later on in life. His sons were corrupt. But instead of him allowing it to continue, he chose another leader. He chose another leader to replace them. And that's what spared Samuel. That's the difference between Samuel and Eli. Samuel recognizes the corruptness and does something about it to replace it. Eli continues to let it happen. Continues to let it happen. And doesn't want to do the work to clean it up. And you've got Hophni and Phinehas right now, not only the church. You've got them in positions in government right now. In the Congress, mayors, governors, they're there. And they've been treating it with contempt. And they've been taking things by force they have no right to take. And they've been operating in debauchery and perversion that they have no right to operate in. And this is the reckoning. This is the time of reckoning as we come to the midterms. We're watching what's happening in the primaries. It's incredible. Because the nation was rededicated. And it's a time of reckoning. God has been invited back in. The covenant has been renewed. It is the time of the reckoning now that has come. And this is why we need to walk in the fear of the Lord. And you know what? If you need help cleaning something out, ask the Lord for it. He'll give it to you in this time. Because God needs things in order. He needs his house in order. He needs his servants in order. He is not a God of disorder. And those that want to operate in disorder and debauchery and cover-ups and lies, those are the ones in this season that will be removed, like Hophni and Phinehas, because the glory has departed. And we need to understand that is the season we're in. We're watching a changing of the guard in the church and a changing of the guard in the government. It's a serious season. I'm watching it happen locally even. It's incredible. It's mind-boggling. But it's happening. And we should walk in the fear and reverence of the Lord, understanding that a 40-year cycle has come full circle. Iran to Iran, Reagan to Trump, Eli's house falls. We're watching these cycles. It's not a accident. It's not a coincidence. These are very serious things that are aligning in the nation right now. And the government and the church are aligning because the church didn't get more political. The political became more spiritual. So therefore, now you've got the convergence of the two. You've got the parallel and you've got the house of Eli in both that have been judged to fall. And they were warned. Hophni and Phinehas were warned to stop. And in the face of God, they rebelled. And they refused to stop. And they took the Ark of God and they brought it in rebellion into a battle. That's what many of them are doing right now in these governors and mayors races in Congress. You're attempting to bring what is holy into a rebellious battle of your own making. And this is why we're watching what's happening right now. in this time. Up, I see people saying hi to my husband. He's in the chat. Chris Wagner's in the chat. He's upstairs. So, and the church is the ecclesia. We're supposed to be a ruling body. So this is why you're watching the two converge now in this cycle. And I think it's incredible to watch. I think it's amazing to watch. And I wanted to go over it tonight because this is just the beginning of what we're going to see leading up to the midterms. This is just the beginning of what we're watching. The incredible changing of the guard that is happening. And who God gives those positions to, he expects them not to be the house of Eli. He expects them not to be Hophni and Phinehas. He expects them not to be like Aaron's sons. But he expects them to walk in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that he gave you that position and he could take it away. And we have to understand that, because that is something that in this season, the fear of the Lord is going to hit the United States of America. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The church and the political desperately need right now the fear of the Lord. Desperately. So let me, Andrew's going to come on in a moment here. Andrew Sorcini has been waiting for us in the back here. I wanted to put this up quick, though, about these two German shepherds. Desperately need homes right now, and I mean desperately. If you could help Hendrix and crew, they need a loving home, okay? Hendrix gets along with other dogs. He's not good with other animals. He does need his shots. Crew is good with other animals. He needs updated shots as well. He loves attention. He doesn't like loud sounds, though. So if you can help these dogs, if you could please call 304-704-1928. They're in a dire situation. They desperately need a place to go. Even if you can foster them, we at Ark of Grace would even help you with their expenses. So if you can give Hendrix or crew a home, please call this number. You can call before 9 p.m., but they are in desperate need. We're putting out a plea to our viewers across the country. 304, let me tell you what area code 304 is, so you know the part of the country that it's in. I'll tell you live. 304 area code. It is West Virginia. So if you are near West Virginia, this is where Hendrix or crew are. If you could please, 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 if you have a place in your home for them and are willing to open up your home to them, we would be very, very grateful. And please, if you do, email us at hello@arcagrace-ministries.com. If you adopt one of them, we would like to help get you started with some things for them. All right, let's bring on Andrew Sorcini, who's been waiting. And we're going to discuss. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, Amanda. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Just enjoyed listening to you go over everything. And yes, things definitely do go full circle.
Yeah, this is a full circle cycle that is a 40-year one. So it's quite incredible to watch.
Yeah, it's so like I did a little research while you were talking. And
okay.
You gave me you inspired a thought that I'd never had before.
Okay.
So about things going full cycle in regards to United States and Iran, you might recall that back in 1979, we had the Iranian hostage crisis. And when Reagan was elected in November, they started releasing the hostages. They released the first ones November 4th, and the last one was released on January 20th. Of 1980.
The day he was inaugurated.
Yes. So then I got really interested, and I just wondered, around that time, I'm thinking silver must have hit an all-time high. So I went into Google Gemini and I just said, what exact day did silver hit an all-time high? The highest close was January 18th of 1980, but the highest intraday was January 21st.
So wow.
It just seems like if we're going full circle, every time we enter a ceasefire or we get the hope here in 2026 that this war in Iran is about to be over,
yes,
we see a big move in gold and silver.
Yes.
And I've just been telling people that when this is done, We're going to probably return right to where we were on January 30th when silver was $121 an ounce and gold hit $5,500 an ounce. And then you just inspired this thought with a little bit of brief research, and it just solidifies what I'm already thinking.
So you're thinking silver's going to come full circle too.
It will.
It
And
will.
as soon as we're done with this mess in Iran, just same as in 1980, silver is going to top out.
See, and see, Andrew, okay, that thought came to Andrew from the teaching tonight. So that's wonderful, Andrew. And also, we have with Andrew right now, we have we call it the Cyrus coin. And so Cyrus, our German shepherd at the sanctuary, is on the front of it. It's also an ode to Isaiah 45. Cyrus, faithful shepherd. And on the back is the ark. It says, "In God we trust, saving grace," because he is our saving grace, and we have to trust in him. And so we do have that with Andrew. I would say probably Andrew would say too, if you were going to invest now, would probably be a decent time to do it.
Exactly. You're getting it at a discount, especially silver. So just to throw some numbers out there, because for me, numbers don't lie. So if silver topped out at $121 an ounce on January 30th, which it did,
Yeah.
and it's currently sitting at about $76, that means that silver's 35% lower today from where it was on January 30th. Well, for people that invested in silver today on the basis of $76 an ounce, when silver returns to $121 an ounce, it's not a 35% gain. It's a 60% gain from $76 an ounce to 121. Now, making money with silver isn't our primary goal. We use silver and gold to preserve everything that we've ever worked for and saved and put away for us and our family. But our secondary goal is to make money, and it's really setting up quite nice at this point. So I've loved seeing so many people reach out and actually try to add more silver.
Yes.
Week we talked about my book, and a really great thing happened that I didn't expect at all. Many people from Ark of Grace actually filled out the form to download the free version of a digital copy of the book.
Oh, wow.
And in the notes
Okay.
section, they said, I listened to Amanda Grace. I've been a client since 2022, or I'm a very happy client, or I am already a customer. And mostly the people that wrote that were people that were saying like, hey, I don't need a phone call. I just would like to download the book. And I really love seeing all of the names and all of the people that have reached out. And I've looked at some of the accounts, and people have doubled and tripled their accounts, and it's just been a great thing.
And you know, sitting and listening to Andrew with this, right? It's wisdom and it is knowledge for you. So basically, if you're trying to learn, even if you're not there yet and you're like, well, I'm not in the, right now in the place of my life to invest, you never know what the Lord's going to give you. So it's always good to learn and it's always good to understand what's going on and that these things are cyclical, and that President Trump hasn't signed it yet, but I know there's a 60-day tentative deal reached, and it's on his desk right now. We don't know if he has signed it yet. He's on the brink, maybe, of signing it, or maybe not. We'll see. But right now, the silver market and the gold market is reacting to what has been going on with the Iran war. So now would be a good time, if you could, to get in on it.
Absolutely. Silver's been trading in a range from the low $70 range for 1 ounce up to just short of $90. So as soon as the president signs this 60-day ceasefire, then I think we're going to be cruising for a little bit. We'll definitely hit the top part of that range, and it'd be a nice bounce for anybody that's just jumping in. And for people that already have silver, it'd be nice to see it go back to where it was. And then we could potentially be poised to go past $90 an ounce and then maybe even break 100 again. So
It
it will
would
happen.
be. It would. Now, Ray, you can reach Andrew. We have his email there, andrew@bh-pm.com. We have his phone number. You could text him, 310-433-3524. Or you could go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and click on BH-PM, and it'll bring you to the landing page, and you can fill out the form.
Absolutely, and there's no pressure. We talk to people every single day that have reached out to us multiple times, And there, we're not trying to bully people into moving forward. We just want to provide you with the information necessary so that you can make an educated decision when you are ready and not an emotional one, because
exactly.
Yeah, that's how you make big mistakes. And if you make big mistakes in investing, that usually means you lose money. We don't want that to happen.
Well, I'm glad you promote that, Andrew. Educated, not emotional. That's what it should be when it comes to this.
Absolutely. So it's the timing is really, really good. The supply is available. Everything is shipping quickly. And for a couple of years ago, when Trump got elected in November of 2024, a lot of people were selling their gold and silver to get into Bitcoin. And now look at what's happened with Bitcoin. It's gone from like $125 a Bitcoin to right now about $73. So
yeah.
If you're like the people in Trump media that have 12,500 Bitcoin, they're hurting really bad because the newness, the sparkle of the Bitcoin has cooled off. So go back to the thing that's been around for thousands of years, gold and silver. They always go up over time.
Amen, Andrew. Thank you for that. And Andrew will be back on with us in about a couple of weeks or so. And I'm sure with what's going to transpire with this deal and over these next couple of weeks, we'll have plenty to talk about.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait.
Thank you for coming on, Andrew.
Thank you. See you
God
soon.
God bless you. And that was Andrew Sorcini. Please reach out to him and his team. They love hearing from our Ark of Grace family. And it allows us as well to be a blessing to others. So one more thing we're going to put up here. I got to talk to you about Toby too. We have to talk about Toby. And then I'll put up, I'll talk about Give a Derm for a moment. So we need your prayers with Toby right now. I got a call and I could sense it in the spirit before she even called from our vet, who's wonderful. And she called me because Toby went in, he had a cough. And they put him on antibiotics and a cough suppressant because they could see there was a type of bronchitis there. But then they took x-rays of his lungs and they saw something. And they sent it out to the radiologist. And the radiologist came back and says that he believes that Toby is fighting lung cancer, carcinoma. And it could be a granuloma. So this is what we have to pray, because a granuloma is benign and it's a totally different treatment. So now in order to determine it, Toby has to go to an oncologist. And so we have made an appointment with a very good oncologist. Toby is 11 years old. And we made an appointment with a wonderful oncologist, the same one who Missy saw. And they're going to read the report and determine really what this is, because the radiologist believes it's one way, but it takes an oncologist to confirm or deny that fact. So we already have a call into the holistic vet as well, and I already had this record sent to our holistic vet as well in order to try to read it, to try to begin to get Toby on a regimen. But I'm asking you to please pray for Toby right now, because hearing it, we're going to pray it's benign in Jesus' name, that this is not what they're thinking it is. We're trusting the Lord in this with Toby. Toby has a wonderful life here. And I rescued Toby from a very bad situation when he was just about 2 months old. And so we've had Toby, me and Chris, for a long time. So we just thank you for your prayers. If you want to go to arcofgracesanctuary.org, you could go there. If you'd like to go to arcofgrace.org/events, we have our information there as well. But this is the situation unfolding right now with Toby, and we really very much need your prayer with him. And Missy still has to go in for her second surgery, so that's coming up as well. But Missy is on the regimen from the holistic vet, and she's doing very well, praise God. Also, we're going to put up Give a Derm at the end. Just before we close, me and Give a Derm have teamed up to create the Amanda Collection. It is all my favorite Give a Derm products, and it comes in a beautiful box that is gift wrapped, and it comes with a TSA travel bag, comes with an Ark of Grace sticker, it comes with a makeup cloth, and a signed Ark of Grace bookmark. So basically, it's the Armor Up prayer that I do. I personally sign these. So you get all of these in the Amanda collection that is presented by Givaderm. I love all of their products, and all of these products that you see, I have used. I use some more than others because I use some of them twice a day, but I am using these products every single day. So is my husband. I absolutely love them. I love these women. I love that they love the Lord, and I love that this is an all-natural skincare. No chemicals, people. No chemicals. And so it truly is food for your face. So what you could do is go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners. You can click on Givaderm, and then you can use promo code ARC10 to save 10% off your order. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. Thank you to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. If any of you like to watch the human events with Jack Posobiec, I have been invited to be on there live tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. So this is a big blessing. And so if you'd like to watch, I'll be on with him on Real America's Voice tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. Praise the Lord. Looking very forward to that. We're going to be putting out shorts the rest of the week as well. And we will be back on early next week. Unless something happens, we'll be on sooner live. So thank you, everyone. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. We want to encourage you in the word. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6. Psalm 91, I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. Also, we have other psalms there for you to speak. Get into the habit of, because the word of God is living, active, it's transformative, it's current for every generation. You have to read it. You have to spend that time with the Lord. You need to put the discipline in. You see, people want the blessings without the discipline. You need the discipline. Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19, I speak those scriptures every single day, as well as the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, I say that at night before bed. I'm in the discipline in the morning, during the day, and at night of quoting the word. It is our sword. It is living and active. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, and we need to treat it that way. So thank you, everyone. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your evening. Keep the faith. We'll see you on live next week. God bless.